from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines, and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hey, good morning. It's the best day of the week. Happy Thursday, everybody. We've done it. We've made it to Thursday. Thursday is the best day of the week because, to me, it's the unofficial end of the week. That's where I land.
You've been pitching this to me for almost a year now.
I'm trying.
You've been pitching. I still like my Sundays, but it's okay, Kyle, for you and me to have different favorite days of the week.
Well, Sunday's a weekend. Sunday's a weekend day.
It's still a week, though. It's still part of the week.
The weekend.
All right.
Thursday's the best day of the work week for me. Because Friday we're chilling. Friday's basically a weekend day.
We just cash it in.
Yeah, man. No, seriously. That's what we always go, man, this is such a Friday show. Because, yeah. Thursday is the official because once after the show Thursday, I'm cruising, I'm coasting.
Okay, so Mondays are my favorite content day because it just goes so fast. The show, it starts and then it's over. You're like, wow, what just happened? We talked NFL football for 8 minutes and the show's over. So I get it, but Thursday, that's fine. It's maybe it's because I have trivia night on Wednesday, and so I'm usually dragging a little bit.
Yeah.
That happens.
Yeah, I feel. Someone said I forgot to say good morning to them, so I would like to personally stop the show to point out Sacktown Tony in the chatty house. Sacktown, thank you so much for tuning in. Or Tony, thank you so much for tuning in. Good morning. Hello. Thank you for tuning in and checking in. D'Lo said an important thing during the 1,000th show yesterday, and again, hats off to D'Lo and KC and Jesse for their 1,000th program yesterday. Really, really fun show. I had a blast out here with the Chatty House not in studio necessarily, but in the building.
Yeah,
for the live show, it was such a great time. Hats off to those guys. But D'Lo said a really important thing. I would shout out everybody listening and everybody in the Chatty House. You know, everybody listening on ESPN 1320 or the Odyssey app. Also, if you're watching and you're not in the Chatty House, like you just watch, you don't participate in the chat.
Yep.
Shout out to you as well. That's a very important aspect of all of this.
I think so too.
There are a lot of people who watch who don't participate in the chat. If you watch and don't participate in the chat, we salute you too.
That was just
a thing that needed to be said.
Okay. Yeah, we.
I didn't print rundowns.
We went out. Good it's start. Okay. We'll just wing it today. We went out into our common area, and the one is missing from the 1,000. Like the floating balloons. It's possible the one it's fallen somewhere.
I know where it is.
Oh,
it is Gavin from the Wake Up Call's birthday today. Happy birthday, Gavin!
So did you just take the balloon?
71 years old today. Yeah, so somebody, either Kevin or Katie, I'm guessing, as a bit to be like, hey, we got you a birthday balloon.
Oh, very nice of them.
Took the one.
Well, what it did, though, Kyle and I went out there, and it looks like we're ready for a game of Quidditch because
yeah, there's
three giant O's just floating out there.
Yeah. Yep. And it's Seth floating around. He's the
He's the ready keeper. To just knock a bludger.
another quaffle. He's ready to stop the quaffle from going through the hoops.
There
Quidditch
we go.
Quidditch talk. You're on ESPN 1320. I have the rundowns printed now. I'll go get them at the break.
I can go get them right
other
now.
Changes?
If you want.
No. It's fine. Other changes. You know what? I'll let you know. I'm gonna complain about something coming up in a bit, and you can go get the rundowns while I'm complaining about the internet.
Okay.
If you would like to participate, please do.
I'll probably just participate and complain with you.
Great. I love that. Okay. And then we can get the... Okay, ready, break. We have a new... So we've talked about this before, the vending machines here in the station.
Yes.
And how you thought inflation was bad elsewhere. Inflation at the vending machines was getting out of control.
Yeah, they're just stealing from us.
$3 for a normal size bag of Doritos. Like, come on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Everything, the insane. Minimum price is $2 for everything. And they're like 40 cent items.
Insane, right? It's like, here's this thing of Mentos, $2, please. Like, no chance. But anyways, they have very, very kindly wiped out the vending machines and replaced it with a free snack rack.
Yes.
I was imagining they were going to put a table there with just like a couple of boxes of snacks out. They bought a whole shelving unit.
Oh, yeah.
And a fridge that has drink. It's stacked with drinks. There are perhaps 30 kinds of snacks in this snack rack. There are is candy. There is fruit. There's like snacks on the healthier side, like those fig bars you and I like.
Oh, yeah.
Nature's Own.
I didn't see those there.
Are they not in there? But things of that ilk, things in that snack category, Cheez-Its, cookies, candy, the range, everything you could want snack-wise. We've got peanut M&Ms. You're already diving in. Did you open those yet?
I haven't.
Oh, okay.
I'll share once I do. If you,
I mean, maybe.
I think I can slide them across the counter to you.
No, that's okay. Because once they're open and you try and slide them across the counter, they're going to go everywhere.
All right.
I don't want to waste. I think peanut M&M for me is at the top of the M&M ranking. I think it goes peanut one, peanut butter. Don't sleep on a peanut butter M&M. I think that's two for me.
I like the caramel ones.
And then I've not had the caramel ones.
It's a little
yet.
Tough. It's like they're like
it's eating, like a chewy caramel.
Yeah, it's almost like what are the little chocolate covered like Milk Duds, but not Milk Duds. The other ones.
I don't know.
The caramel covered, okay, like yeah. So Miss Mac asks, "Is a fortress of snackitude over?" No. We are going to turn up the fortress of snack. We will have elite snacks
now that we've seen. And I got to tell you, the snack rack sets a high bar.
They did well. Like
they did a really nice job.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
There's Skinny Pop in there?
Oh, there is Skinny Pop.
You know I love Skinny Pop.
Everyone in here loves Skinny Pop. I don't particularly care for Skinny Pop, but everyone else does.
I love Skinny Pop. But yeah, the Fortress of Snacktitude. So now that we've gotten a chance to assess the situation at the snack rack, now we can really ramp up.
That's right.
Hey, and I think we need to... Here's the other thing that needs to happen. So if you're unfamiliar, the Fortress of Snacktitude was a James Hamm joint, a James Hamm invention, where he got a locker and filled it with snacks.
And it's a very small locker, but you have to like...
Locker, you maximize the space, lots of snacks in there.
Tetris.
And you have a code on that locker that you have now given to basically everybody.
Almost everyone. It's okay because we keep losing people, so it's fewer and fewer people. So, you know... But yes, I do. I am generous with the Fortress of Snack too.
I think you need to reset it and be less generous.
Okay.
Now that there's free snacks out there.
Oh, okay.
I will contribute. Look, here's the thing. Is if it's still you putting all your dollars in, then you do whatever you want. I am willing to pitch dollars into this and making it a much more exclusive club of people who have the new code.
Okay. That makes sense to me.
Does that play?
It does. So, okay. And then we can make it seasonal. So like...
Oh, I love that. We'll get the pumpkin spice snacks.
Yeah, we'll have like the pumpkin muffins. We'll have
love that idea
during Christmas. The long crispy on the outside. I don't know what they're called. You get them in like a round tin, but they're a cookie. They're like a cylinder cookie.
I know. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. They got like the nougat inside.
Yeah, maybe. Okay.
Wands? Chocolate wands or whatever they're called?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Something like that.
I know exactly what you're talking about, though. I'm so in. I love all this. I love all this.
Yeah, we'll just go over the top on these people.
Yeah, 1,000%.
They're trying to steal our idea.
Speaking of fall, real quick, and I promise we'll talk about sports. We got a ton to get into. ESPN did their predictions for the Western Conference. Where do the Kings rank? We'll tell you. We also have a Brandon Ayuk update. We don't. But Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch still got asked about it. I went to Starbucks today.
Okay.
And I go in there and I walk in and I mobile order, not because I don't like talking to people. I really enjoy actually ordering at the ready, but it's just ease. It's quicker. I can order by the time I get there. I order when I leave my house. By the time I get there, coffee's ready. I walk in, I grab it and I go. I walk in today and they go, "Hello, welcome in," like they always do. The people at the Starbucks I go to by my house, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Huge fan. To the point that I am going to, they have whoever runs the place, her card.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to email that email that's on that card and be like, "Shout out to you and your employees. They are always brilliant."
Okay.
Love them. I walk in and they go, "Welcome in. Today's our fall launch."
Oh no.
And I thought I misheard. And then I look at the menu and sure enough, the fall drinks are up on the menu. And I don't want this to be, I'm not anti, if you're anti-pumpkin, because I know it's everywhere now. If you're anti-pumpkin spice.
Yeah.
Or fall flavor, cool. That is your prerogative, that's fine. I'm very pro. I like the fall flavors, the fall smells, the fall season.
Okay.
I am in on fall. If I'm ranking the seasons, fall is at the top for me. And I'm into all the pumpkin caramel and all the different candles you can get and all that. I'm in. It's August 22nd. It's hot. It's still hot out. I can't drink pumpkin when it's 96 degrees, bro. It's chilly, I'm wearing a hoodie all day drink. That's when you can integrate it. If you want it, September 1, it's still hot, but at least then it's like it's September.
Yep.
Or maybe wait till summer's over, like the last day of summer, make that a big thing. But just August 22nd, you've just decided that the PSL is back?
That's really, get out of my face. Really tough.
I hate it.
Okay, so I have found the cookies I'm talking about.
Yeah,
the
please.
Pepperidge Farm Pirouette cookies.
Pirouettes, thank you. Yeah, the pirouettes, love a pirouette.
We will have those in the Fortress of Snackatoos.
Yeah, just during the Christmas season, though.
No, yeah, we're going to do full seasonal. Yeah, we could even have like the candy cane Milanos in there.
Oh, would love that. A little peppermint bark?
Yes.
Fantastic. Yes. Outstanding.
Maybe even some peanut brittle. Outstanding. I don't know.
As long as we're doing all of this seasonally.
Yes.
If you roll in here on August 22nd with pumpkin donuts, I'm punting the pumpkin donuts out the nearest window.
That's right. That's right.
It's August 22nd. It's not, no, and I'm not, like I said, I'm very pro fall, but don't force it. We don't have to force it. When I was a kid and I'd get a new hoodie, okay, and I love a hoodie to this day. My closet is, we have two closets in our master bedroom, not to brag, and the one is much smaller, one is much larger. My wife had to give me the bigger closet because of all of my, because I hang my hoodies up. And between my hoodies, jerseys, dress shirts, Hawaiian shirts, suits, I just have hanging stuff for days. And she's like, "You take the bigger closet." Like, great, thanks.
All right.
I love a hoodie. And when I was younger and I would get it, I would try and force hoodie season where school starts. And, you know, it's those first couple of weeks. But then you get into August, the last couple of weeks of August, I'd be like, "Yeah, it's cold out in the morning. I'm going to wear a hoodie today." And by 10 a.m., I'm removing the hoodie because it's too hot. Now I'm carrying around it. I would try and force. Stop trying to force fall.
See,
that's all.
I was kind of the reverse. I would just go shorts the whole year. Just like, meh. People, aren't you cold? Like, my shins don't really get cold.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So, all right. Maybe we should talk sports, Kyle.
I don't know why. I get it's a marketing thing, I'm sure. They sell a bunch of pumpkin spice and it's pumpkin spice season, but it's just not. Just because you're posting a pumpkin spice latte on Instagram doesn't mean that it's fall.
That's true.
You can't go, "Oh, cozy fall days." Like, no, it's going to be 94. Your AC is going to run today.
Yeah.
You don't, it just not, I'm, it's.
I'm ready to put up my Halloween decorations.
No doubt.
But I'm waiting.
Thank you.
I have to wait.
It's the logical, if you the Home Depot or Lowe's or whatever, do we have a.
a good thing, yeah. True Value.
Do we, I don't think
Ace, do we have any?
I'm trying to look. Let's see, California Lottery, Exotic Plants.
Cautious.
Hagen Oaks Golf, obviously. If Hagen Oaks wants to put out fall Halloween decorations,
yeah,
I don't mind because people are buying Halloween decorations at this point. But like you said, you go big for Halloween.
Well, yeah, we have the 13-foot.
You literally go big.
Jack
Skellington.
Skellington. Yeah.
Yes.
Pumpkin King.
Right. But you're not going to put that out on August 22nd.
No.
You're not going to force it. Thank you.
Oh, and it takes like a lot of work.
Right.
Like, I mean, this is, it's right. Like a piece of art.
Yeah.
And then, of course, John Bull made me go by Zero.
Yeah, you have to.
So now I have Zero, and I have Sally, and I have Oogie Boogie.
Outstanding.
Like, like huge, and they're all animated, and kids, there are parents that drive by every day with their kids on their golf carts and, like, sit out in front of the house. They're like, you do understand we're here every day. Like, we're here every day. The second you put them up, we show up here, and we're hanging out in front of your house every single day.
I'm getting word now. I love that, by the way. That's a fun Halloween decoration.
Mm-hmm.
It's Jack and Sally. It's Zero. People are familiar with Nightmare Before Christmas. Uh-huh. If they're not, if a kid's like, hey, mom, dad, what the heck is that? Guess what? They're watching Nightmare Before Christmas that night.
Mm-hmm.
Either that or the parents hate Tim Burton and they're like, no, that's a Tim Burton film. I don't like it. We're not showing it to you. But that's a fun Halloween decoration. It's not scary. It's not going to terrify someone's kid.
The big one can terrify people, I would assume, but
yeah, but
I don't
care. You can reel them in and you can go, look, it's a movie, it's fun, here's the movie.
Yeah.
It's all good. Anyways, Charlie said it's okay that Charlie, our boss, happy belated birthday, Charlie.
Yep.
We did a big thing. If you didn't hear it, we did a big thing for you on your birthday yesterday. He said it's okay that the Pumpkin Spice Latte came out today.
What?
Because there's going to be snow on Mammoth Mountain.
Oh. That's not good. I mean, I think it might be good that there's going to be snow.
Yeah.
But
I'll take the precipitation for sure. All right. the latest on Brandon Ayuk.
We've got the latest? The latest.
We do. Kyle Shanahan was asked yesterday and John Lynch was asked today on a Bay Area radio station. What's the deal? What's up with Ayuk? Where are we at? Guess what?
Again today?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Guess what? There's no update.
There's no update.
There's not one.
There's not one.
I get that as a radio host, you have to ask a question. If John Lynch called in right now, we would have to ask the question.
Of course.
But it's the aggregators, of which I am one. A lot of what my site is aggregation. Okay. So I'm not trying to dump on aggregators as a community here. But it's even Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter, the dude, the Woj of the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, here's what Kyle Shanahan had to say on the Brandon Ayuk situation. Like, he didn't say anything. He didn't say anything new. I whined about this 3 days ago, and every day since, the same thing has happened.
You made the statement, I think it was Monday, that we were no longer going to give an update on Brandon Ayuk.
You're right, because we're not doing that. I'm not updating you on what's happening. I'm now complaining on the radio.
You're complaining that there is no update and people keep asking for an update and the update is not an update. It's just nothing has happened.
Yes. And if you want it, like I said, if John Lynch called this radio station right now, the first thing I would say, first of all, thanks for calling.
Yeah.
Second, what's the deal with the Ayuk situation? Where are we at?
Yeah.
You have to ask. But what we don't need to do is, as reporters or aggregators or whatever,
mm-hmm.
say the thing that they said every single time.
Yeah.
There can just be a non-update.
Mm.
There's nothing happening. The next major thing, I've said this before, I'll say it again, so hopefully it's the first time you're hearing this. The next update of substance will be Brandon Ayuk has been traded or Brandon Ayuk is signing.
Yeah.
Until then, I don't need to know. That's it. That's where we're at. That's the latest.
I get this question. Okay, so the Coliseum, there's a Coliseum update, like the Oakland Coliseum from the Oakland Roots, right? Mm-hmm. The field will have an all-grass surface and run along the traditional third base line, giving fans the best sight lines, blah, blah, blah. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think that the Oakland A's are going to leave the Coliseum like a bad renter that knows he's got not getting his deposit back? Do you feel like, because I kind of feel like when the A's move out, there's going to be like so much junk left in the building. Like there will be like 14 rooms filled with bobbleheads that they didn't give out and t-shirts.
Yeah. I lean yes, because that would take like work and manpower. They're not even for the final game. They're not even opening Mount Davis because there's some like trash up there and they don't want to hire people to spend a day cleaning it.
So my answer is yes. The answer should be yes. Then they're going to leave that place with
the one caveat I have is if it's been written into the sale agreement that the place is spotless when they leave.
I don't think there's any way. Well, I have maybe.
That's the only conceivable way I see that being the case. But other than that, yeah, they're 100%. Like, there's going to be random tarps over here and this, like you said, a room full of just old bobbleheads or trash or boxes or whatever.
Of t-shirts, like t-shirts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Misprinted.
Yeah, there's no chance that they're going to actively just invest the money to
clean the place up.
I do love that it's going to be used, though.
Yeah. Oh, no, I think it's great that it'll be used, at least short term. I mean, we'll see how it all goes in the long run.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
No doubt. You said it was going to run along the third base line? The one end line?
That's what they're saying. The field will have an all-grass surface.
They're wiping out the dirt.
Oh, they did a picture here. Yeah, it will run along the third base line, giving fans the best sight lines and intimate electric atmosphere.
So are the goals like on each foul line, toward each foul line, or is it one goal by the left field fence, one goal down by home plate?
That's a good question. It's a video, so I can't just play it.
Oh, okay, perfect.
Yeah, so I'll play the video and I'll try to give you a more. Oh, there it is. The soccer pitch will go from the third base line to left center, and then it'll end over behind home plate and down the first base line. So it'll be turned.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, cool. That's cool.
That'll be fun.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't have to worry about the baseball field anymore. They can use that space however the heck they want.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, I thought they were going to still play baseball there. No?
The Bees might play there eventually or play there a little bit sometimes.
Okay.
But at that point, you're probably putting down some kind of turf or something. I don't know.
Well, they said grass. It's going to be all grass.
Yeah.
So, no, it looks cool.
You can't having soccer on dirt would be nuts.
Well, I mean, like, we've played enough fields, especially like during the drought seasons, like when it really got bad.
Yeah.
Like the fields were just horrible. Like even we started.
Right.
Having,
that's what I said.
Yeah.
If it's, you're playing on dirt, that's insane.
Yeah. And like you'll go to like a place that doesn't have like a lot of money for their parks and recs. Even like when we used to play up in Grass Valley, we had to play on one field and they had a gopher problem, which is horrible.
Brutal.
Because then you got kids with little tiny cleats stepping in gopher holes. And that was a big mess.
That's really bad.
Yeah. Like, so during the droughts, there was like a, 3 or 4 year period where all the fields were, most of the kids are playing on dirt.
Yeah.
And so when they're sliding and like, they're coming up with like huge raspberries, like, you know, their whole hips are covered in bruises and stuff. Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah, so that's why you can't play on dirt, especially in a professional.
Yeah, professional setting. Professional, no, it should. They should figure it out.
We'll get to the ESPN NBA stuff in a bit. Ben Solak, formerly of The Ringer, now with ESPN, did a ranking of the top of the 32 coaching staffs in the NFL.
Yeah.
The Las Vegas Raiders land at number 32.
It's a tough look.
It kind of has to, though, right?
I mean, you got to prove it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's tough. I have less optimism now about the Raiders now that I've seen that. I know I shouldn't let somebody else's opinion sway me like that.
Well, yeah, but they have the Dallas Cowboys at number 16. And yeah. We know that their coaching staff sucks.
I don't know if their coaching staff sucks. I know Mike McCarthy sucks.
Okay, but he's the lead of their coaching staff.
Yeah. I don't know. Where's six? I wasn't prepared to. Here we go. Offensive coordinator, Brian Schottenheimer. All right. He's not very good. Mike Zimmer's a good defensive coordinator, though.
Okay.
The 49ers landed at number 4 on this list. And I think it's fascinating because it's head coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. That's the grouping here that is being ranked.
Yeah.
The 49ers have head coach Kyle Shanahan. He's also the offensive coordinator. And then the defensive coordinator is Nick Sorensen, who has never been a coordinator before. It's his first foray into being a defensive coordinator.
Okay.
The gist of what Solak says in his ranking the 49ers 4th is, don't know much about Sorensen. Don't love that they don't have an offensive coordinator, but Kyle Shanahan is the man.
Yes.
And he said, he said Shanahan's issues with game management are well documented. One of the most cautious coaches in the league talks about how he attempts field goals on 4th and shorts when every other coach is going for it, manages the game like a coach with the best defense and the worst offense, which is funny because he literally always has the best offense, and that's the rub. He always has the best offense. I don't think I've seen the Kyle Shanahan conundrum more succinctly put than that.
Yeah. Yeah, to me, like, look, this is a great offensive-minded coach, and I have definitely had problems with the way his game management, his inability to, be bold, and then, you know, goal line mistakes. Like, I always feel like they leave things on the table way too often.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that they're not phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have the best running back in football. They have a quarterback who threw for almost 4,400 yards.
Yeah.
They have a 1,000-yard tight end. They have a 1,400-yard wide receiver. They've got an all-purpose wide receiver with another, 13, 14, 1,500 yards. Like, they are very, very versatile and very good. That doesn't mean that they don't leave something on the table.
That's it. That's the thing that jumps out the most to me.
Yeah.
Is he does coach, because I think one of the things we get so caught up in Kyle Shanahan being on the cutting edge of offensive football. He was brought up under during the early and mid 90s and the late 90s and early 2000s. That's where he was around his dad, Mike Shanahan. He's an old school football coach from a game management perspective.
Yes.
And that is going to be, I don't think it's the reason that they've lost Super Bowls, but I do think that there are multiple games that you can point to, or multiple situations you can point to, and going, man, he played not to lose,
yes,
more than playing to win. And I'm really interested to see, now that you have a full season of Brock Purdy as the starter and they have determined that Brock Purdy is going to be their franchise guy with all of these weapons, I'm interested to see if that changes this year. If we do see him get more aggressive, knowing this is the way the league's going, we're paying all this money to have this awesome offense. Why are we going to leave it to our kicker, who may or may not make it, to kick a 52-yard field goal at the end of the half? We're going to go for it on 4th down. We're going to speed up the clock. We're going to speed up the offense and try and go get a touchdown before the half. I think that's like one of the big gripes I have with his game management.
Yeah,
end of half.
Yeah, he's just not, he plays everything very safe. Mm-hmm. And I get it, but at the same time, like, look, man, you got a Ferrari. Don't drive 60 in the fast lane.
That's it, dude.
You got a Ferrari. Just go. Like, yeah. Turn on the jets.
Like, it's crazy. They could be a better version of their offense.
Yeah, I think so. Like, even their offense, it's great, but it could still be better because that's the tools you have at your disposal.
Right, they need to be operating. Like, they get inside the opponent's 45.
Oh, yeah.
And any 4th and 2 or shorter, you're going. Just every time. You have Christian McCaffrey, you can get 2 yards. You have George Kittle or Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk, you can go get 2 yards. Juwan Jennings. You have the ability.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the fact that there's that upside and that confidence that they could go do that makes Kyle Shanahan a great coach. The reason that
people like TC have their reservations about him is because, well, he doesn't always open it up and let that offense cook. All right, we got to hit a break. ESPN did a ranking of the Western Conference teams. Mm-hmm. Where did the Kings land? We'll tell you next. That's James Hamm, Kyle Madsen, Jiffy Lube's a sponsor on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
That's James. I'm Kyle. A new name has emerged that you think the Sacramento Kings should go get.
Yeah, I think they should at least kick the tires.
Or kick tires on, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Nasir Little was bought out, and it looks like a stretch provision with the Phoenix Suns. And he had a 3-year, $21.5 million deal remaining, so they'll stretch that over like 7 years. So mm-hmm. The stretch provision, basically, it's twice as many years as a contract plus one additional year. So he's owed like almost $22 million. So they're going to be paying a little over $3 million, and it's going to be a cap hit of $3 million for the next 7 years to do that deal, which is crazy because you typically don't see a guy with 3 years left on a deal get waived like this. But hey, why not? 24 years old, with shoes, around 6'6", 7'1" wingspan, long, athletic. For some reason, he didn't work out there, and I'm not sure what the deal was, but he's a guy that I think Phoenix kind of had high hopes for, and yeah. Certainly Portland had high hopes for him before they traded him in the DeAndre Ayton deal, and I think that this is a player, I'm like, hey, there's a possibility he could be something. But then again, maybe he can't stay healthy. Maybe he can't get on the court.
I would so much rather take a flyer on a Nasir Little type of player than like Lonnie Walker.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, Lonnie Walker is just like an offensive dude.
Right.
Yeah, and I mean, there are moments where Lonnie Walker looks great, but Nasir Little's had like a defensive acumen to him like throughout his career that you're like, okay, he's at least interesting. He's got the length, the athleticism that you're kind of looking for. This young wing that you're kind of looking for. Like if I were looking at him, I'm not thinking of him as like, hey, you're going to go get him. He's going to be in your rotation. But I'm looking at him like same way that they should be looking at Jalen McDaniels. He's just younger. And if you can go out and get him, I wouldn't pick up his contract. That's not what I'm saying.
Sure.
But if he's willing to go out there and take a league minimum deal because he's already getting paid from the Phoenix Suns, then like, why not? That's a deal where I'm like, that would make a lot of sense for the Kings.
I have a couple of things. First, before we get back to the Nas Little thing, Sean Cunningham, Fox 40, going to join us at 11:15. That's confirmed.
Yep.
Sean Cunningham, Fox 40. We'll talk some Kings with him coming up in 40-ish minutes.
Yeah.
That's right, 40 minutes? Yeah, 40 minutes. Sean Cunningham, Fox 40. Why do you say 6'6 with shoes? I've always, not you, we, as...
Well, because I mean, there are a certain amount of people out there who go, okay, like, I see that you're saying he's 6'4 and a half. He's 6'4 and a half barefoot.
Right.
But then everyone says, well, he doesn't play barefoot. And I agree with that. Like,
right. That's why I feel like with shoes is just kind of like isn't that the standard?
No, the right? Standard has become without shoes. So
what?
when a player.
Why? They wear shoes. Everybody wears shoes.
Well,
so everybody's a little taller.
I know, but a couple of years ago, the league decided to remeasure everybody. And during training camp, you had to go in and you had to give a true measurement without shoes for every single one of your players. And that's a new standard that is in your media guide, that is in Basketball Reference, everything else. Now, I don't think that they've adhered to that after like the first year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm wrong, but like... There was a media day where we did a bit where, and it's, I don't know why, it never made the light of day, but we had Lance Woods at media day when
hilarious.
I was at NBC. I brought a tape measure and I had Lance Woods and a stool and like a step stool, and Lance Woods would measure everyone.
Hilarious.
It was spectacular, especially because he, like Kyle Guy, he's like, man, Kyle, I didn't realize that you're only 4'7". And just like Kyle Guy gets pissed. And then like the whole bit was like, he's measuring a tall guy. He's like, 8'6". You're the tallest human in the world. You know, he's like, we're going off the whole time. And it was like a great bit. Again, I'm not sure why that never made the light of day because
I think it did though, because I feel like I remember this.
You might have seen
seen clips
when it came back to like you guys like at we were probably at NBC at the same time, but I don't know. There were often times where if it wasn't someone else's idea, then it was just gonna get buried somewhere.
Sure, that's so hilarious.
It was great stuff. Like Lance Woods was absolutely hilarious with
as he normally is.
Yeah, yeah.
Big Lance Woods guy.
So when I say with,
is he still around? We should get him on. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, keep going.
When I say like with shoes, yeah, I mean, I think that we should just go off of what a guy is with shoes because like when I'm walking around the streets, like I'm 6 foot tall.
Sure.
Realistically, I'm like 5'10 and 7'8" or something.
Sure.
But like when I'm wearing any shoes at all, I'm legitimately 6 foot tall.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, we don't talk about, I don't know.
I don't. He's 6'6". Like, that's just what he is.
He's 6'6".
He's
with a
7 foot
one wingspan.
Right. That's it. That's all I care. I don't care if he's in shoes.
Uh-huh.
That to me is, I don't care that he's 6'4 and a half without his shoes on. Genuinely couldn't care less.
I'm just like, that's where the league went, but I know it's not. But I can also tell you that
this
I know
Kevin Durant's fault.
It was not true this last year.
This is Kevin Durant's fault.
It's very possible it's Kevin Durant's fault.
Because he's trying to walk around and tell everybody he's 6'9".
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When he's a legit, he might be like 7'1". Like, he's so tall. So.
Did you see him standing next to Wemby at the end of the Olympics?
Uh-uh.
he goes over and he you know, daps up Wemby, and then they kind of, you know,
bro hug,
embrace, but he's talking to
yeah,
him.
Yeah.
And Wemby has to legit, like, hunch his shoulders down and lower his head to get to Kevin Durant's level.
Of
it. And Durant is a legit, minimum 6'11".
Minimum 6'11".
Yeah. Yeah. I do wonder, do you think that stigma is still there with 7-footers? Because that was the whole thing with Kevin Durant, remember? He didn't want to be listed as 7-foot because there was a stigma about 7-footers not being able to do what he did.
Okay, maybe. But
I feel like that's gone now.
Like, I've told you this story of Hassan Whiteside when he went to measure into the combine, measured in like 6'11 and a quarter without shoes, mm-hmm. and wore flip-flops, so 6'11 and three quarters. He could have been a legitimate 7-footer in the draft, but wore flip-flops to his measurement.
On purpose or just out of not thinking about it?
Probably not thinking about it.
Yeah, because
he probably could have been a legit 7-1 in the draft.
Right, because if you're Hassan Whiteside, when you have his skill set, you would like to be 7-1.
Yes.
But if you're Kevin Durant and you're going to be... He started his career as a 2-guard. But if he had been listed at 7-foot, maybe he doesn't get those opportunities to be the kind of player that he has become. One of the best scorers we've ever seen, one of the best players we've ever seen.
I feel like
that stigma's gone away.
I've always found it interesting because even last year, I'm like, okay, Sasha Vezenkov's not 6'8", 6'9". They kept telling us.
No chance, dude.
I think they listed him. What did they list him at on Vezenkov. There we go. 6'9". I was told he was more like 6'6.5".
Sasha at 6'9"?
6'9". I was told without shoes, he's more like 6'6.5".
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not a 6'9" basketball player.
No, unless he's wearing like the shoes that make you look taller.
Yeah. Oh, elevator shoes.
Yeah. So he's, but I'll also tell you this, like working with Doug Christie, mm-hmm. Like there was a time where he kept saying, well, there's no way Bogey is listed 6'6". He's like, there's no way he's 6'6". He's like, I'm almost 6'7". He's like, there's no way he's 6'6". Mm-hmm. And then he went over and stood by him. He's like, huh, he's legit. It's legit. He's 6'6". And I'm like, really? He's like, oh no, that's legit. He's like, that's very surprising to me.
Yeah.
That he's legit.
He has big, like 6'4 energy for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think Bogey, when going through the combine, if he actually did the combine, he's probably listed at 6'5", 6'5.5", plus, well, maybe 6'4.5" with shoes. Mm-hmm. But his combine was like so far back. I don't even know if I could even find him or if he actually went through the combine in his year.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, some players you look at and you're like, okay. Like Jason Thompson was a legitimate 6'10", 6'11". Like,
yeah. He was a hoss.
Yeah. He's a big, big mm-hmm. dude. I don't know. DeMarcus, legit 6'10", listed at 6'11", but like borderline 300 pounds most of his career.
Yeah.
Just a big, big man.
It is funny when you see people out, especially when you've been around NBA players, right?
Yeah.
And you've covered NBA players and you see somebody like at Disneyland and you see someone who's like 6'4". If you're 6'4 walking around Disneyland, you're the tallest dude in most spaces.
Then. Yeah, you're a big guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so we saw this guy who legit went probably about 6'4". And I was like, oh my God, he's got to be like 6'10". And I'm like, no, if he was 6'10", I promise you would notice. Like the difference between 6'4 and 6'10
yeah.
is just... I know it's 6 inches, but it might as well be 3 feet.
I told you when we were in Cabo, the guy at Carl's Jr.
Yes, Bruno Caboclo.
Was a legitimate 6'10", maybe taller.
Yes.
And so I tap my wife. I'm like, do you see? I'm like, there's got to be a box back there that they're standing on.
Mm-hmm.
But like his coworkers like came up to his elbow.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that dude is huge. Yeah. Then we'll go back to Cabo for the second trip.
Yeah.
There's two of them. Like two brothers that are legitimate. One of them looked like 6'8". The other one looked 6'10", 6'11".
Golly.
Gigantic human beings.
I always...
At the Carl's Jr.
I always... I don't want to say...
I don't want to say feel bad, but I want to ask, when somebody's 6'11" and they don't play a sport,
yeah,
I got to find out why. Like, I need to know.
That's
it's probably because that guy who's working at CJ's, maybe he got hurt, or maybe he just doesn't care. Maybe he went, yeah, I tried out basketball, didn't like it, whatever it was.
Or maybe there was no opportunity. I mean, he's in a weird spot, like in Mexico, you know, like literally he's in Cabo.
Sure.
So
sure. Might not be a ton of run down there. No doubt.
Yeah.
When I see, I have friends in high school who in high school were like 6'6", zero interest in playing sports.
Oh yeah, that's weird.
It's like, how did that happen? How did you? That's fine. I don't begrudge you. If you don't want to play sports, what, it's not your bag, whatever, that's fine. But as somebody who wanted to play sports but was going to be undersized pretty much no matter what sport I played, it's like, I could, that's frustrating to me.
I think that was always the issue. Well, I mean, I think there's issues with, like, Willie Cauley-Stein, right? Like, for whatever reason, I think there are certain athletes that you look at, and you can say the same about Hassan, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you look at and you're like, man, if I was that tall with like the other attributes that I had as an athlete,
mm-hmm.
like what kind of, like, where could I have gone? Mm-hmm. And I think there's always that in the back of people's head. You know, it doesn't matter how tall you are. You're not that tall.
Mm-hmm.
You're always like, oh man, he's just, you know, I mean, even like when you played sports in high school, mm-hmm. you knew that there are some guys that are just so naturally gifted, but they didn't even work hard. And you're mm-hmm. like, man, if he just had like, if I had his size, yeah. like his height and his athleticism, yeah, yeah. like what I could have done with that. Mm-hmm. And you always feel like almost like they're wasting it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always a bummer. So yeah. I get what you're saying. I did find the picture of the guy at Carl's Jr.
That's a hoss. That's a big boy.
Let me see.
There
we go. I mean, you see his coworkers?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big man.
That dude's an absolute unit.
I quietly took a picture of it. And not like he's got to be like 19.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's a young dude.
Not an older guy for sure.
Yeah.
The good news for me, I feel like, in my psyche, is I came to grips with the fact that, because I played in high school, I played with a couple of guys who were awesome, really, really good at baseball. And one of them tried out at like Chico State and didn't make it. And the other one, I think, played at a JC for a little bit. And that was just kind of it. And it's just really comforting knowing, like, okay, I did what I could accomplish.
Uh-huh.
I did. Could I have just worked my tail off and maybe played at a JC? Yeah, sure. But like, hey, you know what? I probably hit about, I didn't reach my ceiling, but I got really close.
Mm-hmm.
And that's helpful for me. I'm not one of those people that I was awesome and then I got hurt and I was just never the same and I was always wondering what could have been. Like, no, I was a pretty average athlete. I played through high school.
Yeah.
It was fun. I had a good time.
I played on a big league team, like travel ball,
mm-hmm.
like 1 year. And one guy, when he graduated, went to OU, was in starting rotation as a freshman at OU.
Jesus.
As a pitcher, mm-hmm. Threw 95 mile an hour gas.
Oklahoma?
When we were young. Yeah.
Dang.
And then another was in the Washington Huskies, like starting rotation as a freshman, true freshman.
Dang.
Both of them stopped playing, though. They didn't continue. And,
crazy.
I think, to be honest with you, they both became attorneys, which is weird, but yeah. So playing baseball with guys where you're like, okay, you're really, really good. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. We didn't lose a lot of games, especially since two of our starting pitchers like were unhittable.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, it was fun.
We had a guy, I think I've told this before, and then we'll get to the ESPN Western Conference predictions. We had a guy named Drew Gagneau on our team my senior year. Well, he was with us all the way through high school, but Drew had a cup of coffee with the Mets, and I believe he was at the Angels organization for a while, and the Brewers. He got drafted out of high school, chose to go to Long Beach, got drafted out of Long Beach, I think in the third round, just dominant, right?
Mm-hmm.
And our coach, we got picked to finish last in our league, and our coach before the year, because the little write-up in the newspaper said, this isn't a good team or whatever, but Drew Gagneau is a player to watch. He could get drafted, blah, blah, blah. And our coach brings out the newspaper at practice. He goes, hey,
this paper says this, but we are more than one guy. We are more than one player. We are a team. Da da da. Drew's great, but you know, together we can do X, Y, and Z, and blah blah blah. Does this whole spiel. Our next game was at Camp Olindo, and in like Moraga area.
Uh huh.
It's in Camp Olindo. We win that game 2-0. Drew Gagneau, who the coach said our team is more than one guy. The next game, Drew Gagneau goes out and throws a 2-hit complete game shutout and hits a 2-run homer, and we win 2-0. Like, thanks, coach. We did it.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
All right. ESPN finally.
Yep.
Put out there, we've been talking about their predictions all week. They did Eastern Conference, they did all the awards, they did bounce back teams and teams that are going to fall off. They finally have the Western Conference predictions.
Mm.
Number one in the Western Conference, according to ESPN, the Los Angeles Lakers. Oh, I'm sorry. Hang on. That's the bottom five. That's the bottom five. The Los Angeles Lakers, number 11 with 44 wins. The Clippers at number 12 with 43 wins. San Antonio, 13 at 35 wins. The Jazz, 14 at 26. The Portland Trailblazers going to be firmly in the Cooper Flagg conversation at 22 and 60, rounding out the bottom of the West.
Oof. They have them at 22 and 60?
Yeah, that's tough. I don't have any. I mean, you can quibble with the overall records, but the Lakers, Clippers, Spurs, Jazz, Blazers being the bottom five wouldn't shock me at all.
No.
I wouldn't be that surprised.
Okay, so the bottom five, Lakers, Clippers, Spurs, Jazz, Blazers.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. And even at the number 11 is the Lakers with 44 wins. That's a lot tough, of wins, dude. For a 44 win. For 11 seed? Yeah. Okay.
What did the 11 seed have last year? What did the Rockets finish with?
Oh, I think 40. They didn't get to 42, did they?
Were they four? I think they were 41 and 41. I think they finished 500. I'm getting there. Stand by. The Houston Rockets, yeah, 41 and 44 last year.
Oh, that's,
yep, 44 wins still would have been outside the play-in.
Wow.
Yeah, the Kings and Warriors, 46 wins were the bottom two play-in teams last year. But yeah, the Lakers winning they haven't gotten any better.
No.
You're banking on another season of Anthony Davis staying fully healthy?
Yeah, you could actually make the argument that they got worse just by the coaching staff changes and stuff.
Yeah.
And they're two stars. They're two everythings got older. They're the younger players that are going to be hopefully healthier. You know, they do have a stack of those guys who missed a bunch of games last year, whether it's Vanderbilt or Cam Reddish and
Gabe
Vincent and Christian Wood.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they get, but those are all like 8-9 guys in your rotation at best.
Yeah.
You would think.
Yeah, maybe Anthony Davis is healthy for 75 games again, and I'm done thinking that LeBron is ever going to fall off. LeBron's going to go for 25, 7, and 7, and that's just what it's going to be.
Probably.
and maybe Dalton Connect is awesome. And
that's the only addition they made, and they lost Taurean Prince.
Well, Bronny James.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, there's a path to them being a play-in team for sure, but I wouldn't be shocked if they were 44 wins in the 11 seed for sure.
Okay.
And then the Clippers falling off big time too wouldn't shock me either.
No, I don't. I think the Clippers will fall off.
Mm-hmm.
The Clippers lost good talent.
Yeah.
I mean, they lost Paul George. But outside of that, I mean, they also, Russell Westbrook, they sent away, which, you know, I can't say Russell Westbrook's not going to help the Denver Nuggets and say that he would help them, but at least he was a player for them last year.
The next group, the play-in group.
Oh.
Number 10, the Houston Rockets, also at 44 and 38.
Oh.
Number 9, also at 44 and 38, the Memphis Grizzlies.
All tied with the Los Angeles Lakers.
All tied with the Lakers, and the Lakers on the outside looking in via the tiebreakers. Golden State, the number 8 seed at 45 and 37. The New Orleans Pelicans, number 7 in the play-in at 46 and 36. Again, I don't think I have any major gripes there.
No.
You have Golden State a game worse than last year. You have Memphis bouncing back, but not into, you know, back to the number 2 seed or anything crazy like that. You have Houston making a little bit of a leap, a 3-game leap for them. And you have the Pelicans, who I think have gotten worse this offseason. I don't know if they've gotten worse. I don't believe fully in the Pelicans.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're going to be solid. I think they're going to be a good team. Mm-hmm. I think it does hurt them that they don't play the Sacramento Kings five times this year.
Yeah.
In the regular season and another time in the play-in.
Good point.
You know?
Yeah, they got... I don't... DeJounte Murray doesn't move me that much. The Brandon Ingram thing is a mess.
Yeah.
They don't... They clearly don't want him there.
Mid-season, you're probably going to try to get something for him, but you diminishing returns the entire time.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know what their center position looks like. Like, Trey Murphy is obviously awesome. Herb Jones is awesome. Like, people in Sacramento don't need to know the good players on the Pelicans.
Yeah, even, CJ's a good player still, but but the problem is you're going to get to a point where, what are you going to do with Brandon Ingram? How are you going to deal with the situation? Have you realistically lost all value in him?
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but you're going to have a player in Brandon Ingram who is trying to retain his value and even push his value higher so he can get this max money deal he's looking for, or 35 or 40 million a year, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be fighting to get that.
Yeah.
And if he's not given an opportunity to be that player, and he's averaging, say, 15 points a game because you're giving more of his opportunity to Trey Murphy and stuff, that's going to get a little dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to get a little weird.
Yeah.
Because the last thing he wants to do is for people to think he's ambivalent.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a good place to be in at all.
Yeah, so New Orleans, and then what does Zion's health situation look like?
Well, same as always.
That's the right, and that's the like I said, there's a path to the Lakers being in the play-in for sure.
Yep.
I think there's a path to New Orleans being in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But I can't buy it. I think 46 wins is about right. Golden State, again, we talked about them quite a bit yesterday, 45 and 37, a game worse than last year. Yeah, it's probably about right. I think they're in that range.
I'd put them more like 40, 42, 43 wins. That's just me. I don't think that they're, I have a really tough time thinking that they're going to be cohesive, and they look like just an odd collection of players at this point.
Hmm.
So, and they're one, Steph bad step away from... If he misses 15 games, they're torched.
Yeah, for sure. For me, I think I don't have any major gripes at 45 and 37.
Uh-huh.
And then Memphis, we talked about them quite a bit yesterday too. You tell me they won 44. Okay, I think that's about fine. I don't have any gripes at the Rockets either. I think so far they've kind of nailed it.
Yeah.
If I was putting these teams in some order, this is probably about where I would have landed.
Mm-hmm.
I might have the Lakers in the play-in, though.
Really?
Maybe.
Okay, maybe.
I might have just defaulted to that because of LeBron and Anthony Davis, but you know what I'm tired of hearing about from Laker fan is Max Christie. I'm so tired of hearing about Max Christie.
They just gave him a 4-year, $32 million deal. What in the world?
Maybe he's going to be awesome. Maybe they're seeing stuff that we don't see, but... that's it? That's what we're leaning on?
But they could have used that last year, and they didn't even need to do it. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
We'll see.
Well, we'll get to the top six next. You'll notice in the play-in and the bottom five, the Kings have not been included yet. So we'll get to them next. Where do they rank in the ESPN predictions? We'll tell you. That's James M. Kyle. We're the Insiders. Sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.